Hi, I'm Malcolm Nichols.
And I'm Richard Ayling.
And this is Man Reimagined, a podcast where we, as men, attempt to reimagine ourselves in the 21st century.
How can we respond to the big questions that we're facing, both within ourselves and within society, and make sense of this ever-changing world?
We don't have all the answers, but we do want to create a conversation. So join us moving forward as a man reimagined.
Okay, and we are recording. Malcolm, welcome back.
G'day, Richie. Nice to be back on this podcast with you.
Indeed. Let's jump straight into what is, for me, a huge topic that's going to have a lot of offshoots in the future. And I'd love to invite other people onto the podcast in future to speak to this big word, masculinity. But for today, let's you and I just have an attempt at deciphering what this word means for us, because it's such a loaded term, and I want to kind of dive into what it can look like, you know, positively, negatively, and also touch obviously the other side of things like femininity as well. Like, what do these words mean today from the point of view of two men in their 40s? So I'll open it by offering it to you and just say, what comes to mind for you, Malcolm, when I use this word masculinity? Like, what springs to mind? What does it mean for you?
Thanks, Richie. I think like a lot of topics that we talk over, you know, the first thing that springs to mind is utter confusion, to be perfectly honest. And the reason I say that is that, you know, in some ways the word masculinity's got so loaded recently, and I think it's also been got really confused, that like there's the confusion between the word masculinity and the identity of man or being a man. And I think, you know, for me, there's a real need to understand that they're actually two different things. And you know, so as a man, you know, I stand here, I have a penis, and I identify as a man. And but masculinity for me is an energy, right? It's a yin and yang. It's a way of interacting with the world and interacting with people. And as a consequence of that, I don't know if there's, like, it's really hard in some ways to actually define, because it feels to me that it can be defined in many different ways. You know, I mean, I don't confess to know a lot about Chinese medicine and Chinese theory, but, you know, I know that the yin and yang, and the yang being the male energy, and they talk about the heavens, and it's a very action oriented energy. And I kind of, you know, I do, for me personally, you know, the masculine does feel like a very, you know, it carries connotations of being strong, of being action oriented, and those types of things. And, you know, that kind of thing I can identify, but I have to confess that actually, you know, when I really get into masculinity, I don't really know, I don't really have a sense nowadays of what it really means, because it has become such a confusion around it. And in many ways, that's why I'm so keen to talk about it, because it feels like if to actually have the discussion about what masculinity is, and how can we access it and tap into it and give a much clearer picture of what it is, can really, I think it would really help me as a man to have a clear sense of what perhaps masculinity is, as opposed to this muddled vision that I currently have. What are your thoughts, Rich?
Yeah, I'm with you. My understanding of it, I mean, there's different models out there, right? And we could, again, separate podcasts for each one almost, and getting people in to speak to what they understand it to be. But that would just you know, serve to prove your point that there's not like a cohesive, understood view of what masculinity is and looks like. And, you know, living in Bali for a time, there was lots of workshops around this kind of thing. And that, again, like this, I could talk for a while, and how people offer workshops where men practice being in their masculine by being stoic and strong and statuesque, and women would practice being in their feminine by covering themselves in oil and being fully in their space of love and creativity. And that's obviously a crass way to define the difference between these two things for me. In yoga, they talk about Shiva and Shakti, you know, Shiva being this sort of masculinity and Shakti being this feminine energy. But from what I understand there, you know, these are two things that coincide within all of us. And yet, how is it that we've come to this place where men, rightly or wrongly, are traditionally associated with needing to be masculine? And then this word, this connotation of strong all the time, you know, what does... what does it mean to be effeminate in a man for you? Like, because to me, that's almost like the opposite, and it's soft and it's weak, and that's somehow like a weakness, right? So where did that come from? This idea that these traits can exist inside all of us, is that makes sense, but now we've come so far the other way. What's your feeling about sort of being effeminate and what that means to you if someone were to say that to you?
Yeah, well, I mean, it doesn't carry a particular, for me personally, it doesn't carry a particular charge. And in some ways there's an element of relief and being able to consider that for myself, because I find, you know, from a personal perspective, I find, you know, this idealized vision of what masculine is, which, you know, as you describe, that kind of stoic, strong guy, you know, and taken into a relationship, you know, the guy who's carrying the family and those kinds of things, you know, which is the somewhat, you know, traditional view of masculinity or male illness, you know, as it's been handed down, right? You know, I find that really burdensome, and whereas the invitation to be softer, you know, there's a, you know, I can feel myself just like, oh God, thank God, there's a real sense of relief that goes with that. The relief doesn't necessarily lead to permission to be there, but it is a sense of relief, and I think you know, because it's like, yeah, I mean, as you've just said, you've alluded to it, which in a way was you know, it is a really strong missing piece in this conversation, is that this idea that we're one or the other, that we sit on one pole or the other, and neglecting this idea, the sense that, you know, there's this huge spectrum that we can sit upon, ranging from, you know, fully masculine to fully feminine, and all the way we do tend to polarize. It feels like you sit in one camp or the other, rather than being somewhere along that continuum. And for me personally, trying to be in that masculine space all the time just feels it feels bloody exhausting, and it doesn't actually feel very enriching as a man, to be perfectly honest.
What does feel enriching to you about being in that space? Because I really resonate with the pressure to be something. So I resonate with the pressure in you know, feeling like I need to be something, you know, whether that's masculine, well, it's going to be masculine. And when I'm not, then that's, and I feel like I'm somehow failing. And I don't know where that expectation comes from, if it's that self-imposed, if it's societally, if it's from women, if it's just indeed a mixture of all of these, because some women don't expect that of me. Some women would like us to be a bit more kind of balanced in general, I would say. But And I think that's an exciting thing, you know, that we all, regardless of how we identify, start to move along this spectrum and see how it all feels. And yet, what is the kind of positive side of masculinity for you? What's the stuff that makes you go, oh yeah, I love being in this space? What makes you come alive there that we could describe as positive masculinity or mature, if you like?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, the first thing that really springs to mind or that I actually felt in my body more than anything was the real, it's the physicality of the masculine, well, at least what of the idea that I consider masculine, like to be really, to be firmly kind of firmly grounded, strong, you know, have a real sense of self and, but yeah, just this sense of really physically living in the world is something that I consider to be quite for me is what I personally would describe as being a masculine trait. And so I don't even know if that fits within any of these models, but that's certainly an experience I have. It's like when I know where I am, I have a real sense of what I'm doing and purpose and those types of things. That feels really solid. And it's that sense of being really solid, which I think is a really positive masculine trait.
That's really interesting. I mean, I've got visions of, you know, you sort of standing, you know, kind of very proudly on the South Pole with a flag. You know, like that kind of, that's what comes to mind. And it's, you mentioned that keyword purpose again, no doubt a separate podcast, but why is it that we associate this with being masculine? I think a lot more people are looking for the meaning of this word and how to find it in life. Like it's something that's missing. And that's, I think that's a universal theme, regardless of how we identify, but yeah, it so is something that we associate with masculinity, you know, and some of these models, to kind of lean into them for a moment, we talk about, you know, the masculine as driving forward, as presence, as direction, as penetrating, right? And then the feminine just being, just being life itself, actually, you know, love, creativity, space. I'm going to run out of words for sure. But the thing that is the reason that we're here in a weird way, right? Like that's my lame attempt at describing how I've learned it. And I don't know even know if that's right, you know, but the overlap for me comes to this, definitely this sense of presence and just being not in your body, because again, women, I think, are naturally quite are more embodied than men, you know, in a lot of ways.
I'd agree.
When I say naturally, again, is that societally? Is that because their biology is different? I'm not sure. But I remember coming alive in a kind of men's immersion when I was, I wouldn't say in my feminine, but definitely, what kind of term is that? It's so difficult to explain, but I didn't feel in my body, I didn't feel me. I felt really just not me at all. And I was challenged to a game of like sort of knee slapping, you know, sort of two men trying to slap each other's knees in a circle of men sort of goading them on. And I came alive because of this element of challenge and presence and healthy competition that I watching boxing and conflict at contact sports when I was a kid, I never really got it. I didn't feel good with that. And so there was a real kind of learning that, wow, the challenge is really, really healthy. And when it's done with high regard, right?
Yes.
But there's something very masculine about that for me. What does that say to you?
Yeah, I'd agree. It's just that, I mean, I agree with what you said. You know, the purpose is not, you know, purpose isn't, the purpose itself isn't a masculine trait, because there's, you know, I think as a human, the purpose is a human characteristic. I think we're, you know, at all, when we've got that as, you know, masculine, feminine, man, woman, you know, whatever, you know, purpose brings us alive, I think, you know, for everybody. But there's something about purpose aligned with that physical that physical challenge and that real you know, that real sense of being planted, you know, like, and so I agree. It's like, you know, I mean, I've always grown up playing sports and always been a very physical person. And I know that, you know, for me, that when, if I'm stuck in my life, that the place that I know that I can go to that is going to unglue me is by simply getting into that place of physical challenge and physical expression. And there's something about doing that that just, it just kind of unlocks me. It gets me out of my concern. It gets me out of my worries. It gets me out of my head. It gets me into my body, all of these things. But in the context of this talk, I feel like it grounds me back into myself and my center. And you could also say, I could also say that it grounds me back into that masculine quality a little bit of action and doing. And so you know, that those two things really tie in for me personally around the masculine energy. And again, you know, just to be clear, you know, the difference here that you and I are talking about between masculine and man, you know, because I know that for many, many women, you know, they could very have a very similar experience around physical activity and obviously being a woman, but I still think it's that quality of the physical challenge that has a real kind of masculine energetic edge to it.
There's something that comes to mind for me. There's a beautiful practice known as non-linear movement. And there's a woman called Michaela Boehm who teaches it. It's from a lineage, and it's very much like a, in inverted commas, like feminine piece, because you're essentially moving in an intuitive way that feels good to your body, perhaps to music. And, you know, you're not allowed to use patterns. And if you find yourself in a pattern, then you've got to deliberately break it and just kind of move. And there's something releasing and cathartic and healing about it, but it requires surrender and letting go. And I think that's something that, maybe I'm wrong, but like something that men feel quite find quite hard to do. I find that a lot of sports and movement practices that we tend to engage with are quite linear, you know, as in there isn't a kind of, if you would lift a weight and just however you felt like it in the moment, you break all your muscles, right? There's very specific kind of patterns yeah. and ways of moving and doing things that we seem to just love and just get into. It's that, and again, I'm maybe opening a can of worms, but I really reject the idea that the male brain is different to the female brain. I mean, I'm not qualified to make that distinction, but I don't like the way that, oh, this is how a woman thinks and this is how a man thinks. Like, I think that's much more a societal thing, and I'd love to find out the real answer to that. But there's something around linear, just kind of dogmatic, simple movements that, you know, men seem to want to dive into, and they feel more comfortable in doing that. Is that linked to masculinity? What's the difficulty in us, you know, dancing, for example, and just really letting go? I'm not saying all men can't dance, of course not, but it's in a kind of creative letting go sort of way, we find that kind of thing really hard. Like, does that speak to you? What's going on there?
Yeah, I totally resonate with you. And I mean, because I know exactly the type of thing that you're talking about with the non-linear movement. I practiced something called continuum, which is a continuum movement, which is a very similar thing, the idea of continuous, non-repetitive, non-linear movement. And I know that for me, when I was doing that, the change in how I felt, it opened me up in a completely different way. I certainly know that the consequence of doing something like that got me into an emotional state that is very different from when I'm out running, for example, or playing sport or playing football, which was my thing. And I think it is that breaking free of patterns that that you're talking about, and the ability to express that really tapped me into my emotional body in a very different way. And that, you know, I think what we're getting into here is actually a beautiful way of describing the differences between these two energies, the masculine and the feminine. It's like, it's, you know, you could say one's familiar, one's linear, and one's expressive, you know, or non-linear, or however you want to, whatever words. It's, you know, those are two valid ways, I think, to describe these two energies and the different things, and they certainly provide different. You know, when I do one, you know, like for example, if from a personal experience, when I go out and do a run, and I do a particularly challenging one, you know, the sense of accomplishment, and it's like you used the word pride before, I think, you know, I really feel that, you know, I that really is in there, and I'm buzzing as a consequence of that. But that is a very different feeling to what I experience when I do continuum, and I can be really challenged and sweating at the end of that. But the softness and the emotional connection that I have when I've done that is a very different experience. I mean, as we're talking about this, you know, that's a great distinction for me.
And I like these words, the fact that you've described them as energies, that gives it so much more flexibility. And the idea that where are we on this spectrum at the moment, and what do we need to do to kind of move perhaps more in the direction of the other? Because I'd say life is more about balance. And definitely those nonlinear spaces are things that I'm drawn more into normally, just because of where I guess I have grown up on that spectrum. To be clear, I'd say that's more on that feminine side. And so the practices that you just talked about, like, you know, even if it's going out for a run or just setting yourself some kind of challenge, weightlifting, there's something about that I'm not necessarily drawn to. And yet when I do it, oh, wow, I get into my body and I'm just like, oof, this feels great. I needed to just, you know, do that, pick myself up, get shit done. I can't just be in this kind of like soft and more open space all the time. And if we were to, and again, I won't speak for women, but I will for a second, in that I think, you know, if that's the natural space for them to be in that feminine space, like they've had to in the working world sort of be much more in that kind of get shit done sort of space. And I feel like women can move across that spectrum unbelievably so much better than men can. And I'll take you back actually to a memory when we did a little men's kind of weekend with you, right? You led us back in Bali a year or two ago, and I'll never forgive you for this. You made us do the five rhythms, you know, and it was like us dancing in different ways. And it's just like eight men just kind of like, you know, just you're asking us to move, and you're quite happy to do that. And I am on my own. But suddenly we're having to move in all these different kind of ways to different styles of music and just let go. It was painful to be in. It was painful to watch. And yet there's real, real, real value in that. I'm trying to convince myself that there was, but not only joking. It was important, but it just highlights the point of just how hard we find it to switch to that opposite spectrum. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree with you. I certainly, you know, I think in a way this is the struggle that we're looking to kind of work with in this podcast that you've just talked about, is the challenge for many men to be able to switch and to shift between these spectrums and have the emotional range and capacity to be able to shift and not get caught. Whereas, you know, I mean, I agree, if you were to make a judgment, I think women have been able to make that shift across for better and for worse, you know, and adopt and be able to go between masculine and feminine as well, you know. So, you know, it's not always a good thing to be able to to be in, to shift across to one because you feel society needs to, which I think a lot of women have had to do consciously and unconsciously. If I was, you know, to make a broad spectrum judgment, you know, and just to, you know, to step into this thing about describing, you know, this talking about masculine and feminine as energy, and not as, you know, like physical states like male and female, you know, because that is part of this discussion that's ongoing in the world at the moment around this, around the gender identification and how, you know, we're having to deal with this. But it doesn't mean that, you know, masculine and feminine still exist. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter what we identify with as a physical trait, you know, we're still working with these two energies, and even, you know, non-binary and you know, asexual, however, whatever trait we want to identify with, you know, we're still having to dance between these energies. If you look at them as a continuum, I mean, you know, it's such a in that regard, you know, one I would love to have, and I think this would be a great conversation for us on this podcast, is to have different people at different identifying different to different states, physical states, different genders, and trans and everything else, and have that in relation to this masculine and feminine concept and idea, because it, you know, it is such a juicy topic that I think if we can begin to get a greater, more than anything, if we can get a greater sense of what they are, it can begin to free us up. I think what I'm, you know, what is in this topic, sorry, in this conversation, you know, what I got for me at the beginning is that, you know, there's just a huge bunch of judgments and misconceptions, even in my own head. And I'm somebody, you know, and you and I are somebody who work with this a lot, but there's still this confusion and judgments that are all made about it. And it leads to, and it's those mistakes that create, or those judgments that create the mistakes. So, you know, the more clarity we can all gather around what it actually means, you know, what these energies themselves actually mean, there is freedom in that. And I think that's the important piece to know, is about creating freedom in us through greater understanding.
Word. I couldn't agree more. Not much more to add to that. I think that there's one thing we haven't mentioned, I think we need to acknowledge, and that's, you know, this idea of toxic masculinity and the negative aspects. And we're not in any way trying to brush over that. We're deliberately leaving that for a separate podcast, because there's so much to own to speak about. And again, it's not helpful for, you know, two white men to just sort of sit here and discuss and therefore decide what that means either. I think in both of these conversations, we're starting out, but yes, to invite other people in here, because no matter how you identify, I think there's value in that, using this model that there being two kind of poles, and that we all are sitting somewhere on them, and like notes on a piano, you know, let's learn to sort of play different ones, and how we all interact and learn to respect and live with each other as humans. And no matter how we identify, is going to be an ability to see each other as humans, and not just as, well, you're a man, but you're super effeminate, and therefore I can't understand or relate to you, for example. Or, you know, you're a woman, and yet you're doing things that I would think and consider are just super masculine, and therefore that doesn't seem attractive to me. And these kind of simplicities that cause actual separation, right? I mean, I'm going to two extremes, but there's a bigger conversation to be had, where I think you and I are going to have a lot of fun listening to other perspectives on this and learning from people, especially non-binary people, that I don't know their experience and where do they sit on this spectrum? Is there something more to it than that? You know, what are their experiences and how they describe relating to this, you know, same sex couples, like it's this charge of polarity and you know, opposites attract. There's so much to discuss here. Let's underline, I guess, that we're not trying to say that this is what this means. We're genuinely, to go full circle, like kind of confused about what it means. And I particularly am skeptical that, you know, models that talk about men and women and men needing to be in this masculine energy so that women can sit in their feminine energy and sort of silly sentences like that are really counterproductive and don't speak to the ever-changing world. There are several books out there that men's groups that I kind of get newsletters from, etc., you know, books that were written sort of 20, 30 years ago are just treating like the Bible. And I'm like, just by definition, you know, looking that far back to a book that tries to speak to a situation about life isn't going to be helpful anymore. There's gold even in the Bible itself, right? And yet there's also slavery and women being, you know, on a par with cattle. It's like, yeah, let's revise anything that's been written some time ago. And even 20, 30 years, I think is, there's going to be wisdom in that, but there's also going to be a few things to look at again. So, I mean, any thoughts on that before I ask you a couple of questions to wrap up?
Yes. I mean, I agree on this revision, and you know, that's exactly why we're here and we're doing this. You know, I think, you know, one of the key things as a, for you and I to keep coming back to is the sense of, you know, what we're attempting to do here is to see if we can sift through some of the clogged misconceptions and mud that we've kind of built up around men, around masculine, feminine, men as we live in the world, and try to see if we can create some clarity and potentially a path forward. So I totally agree with you in terms of, you know, rewriting and challenging everything that is there.
Beautiful.
At this moment in time, and seeing what works and what doesn't work, and just as you said, you know, just to reiterate once more, you know, we will dive into this discussion around toxic masculinity and what, you know, what they're actually, what, you know, what that is trying to, I think, actually cover all, you know, what does it mean, and because it's such a huge thing. So, but obviously we're leaving that in this podcast for today because it's too large a thing to bounce off in 2 minutes.
Indeed. As a couple of sort of action points for anyone out there listening, you know, like in terms of how to deal with these words, masculinity, or this word masculinity and what it means, femininity, etc. Do you have any kind of suggestions or action points or ways that people can start speaking to about this on in their daily lives, just to start making more sense of it? Because, you know, we're offering ideas and we're creating conversations on a podcast, but how to kind of take that into the real world?
Yeah, I mean, good, really good question. And so I think one of the, you know, for me, this is, it's part of the process of beginning to move out of a culturally or an externally prescribed way of being in the world. By that, I mean, you know, men, you know, the very old model of men go to work, women stay at home, and then, you know, as we've moved from that into the new current models, but still it feels like, you know, we're still operating from trying to understand what has been externally told at us, and then we're trying to interpret that and find a way of being in the world. Whereas I think the place that we need to actually shift is to kind of come back into ourselves to actually find.
Move away from the mic, mate. Sorry, mate. You're right up close to the mic, and it's hard to. It got a bit loud there. Try again. Sorry, buddy. Sorry, mate.
Sorry.
Go on.
Yeah. Sorry, mate. I was getting excited. and come back in. So move away from this external view of the external way of making decisions and following, and actually come back into, you know, beginning to, you know, work out for ourselves, inside ourselves, what does it mean for me? What are the traits and characteristics? How do I want to behave? What gives me juice? What do I inspire? How do I want to relate to people? You know, it's this type of thing. It's like, where are we getting our information from? And that's the big shift, because within that you can say that there's masculine and feminine qualities that within us that we can, that when we do them, some feel really good, some feel challenging, etc. Right? And you can label the masculine and feminine, but it doesn't really matter at that point. It's more about what speaks to me personally.
Nice. Something that came to mind as you were talking is also for people just to, you know, ask and inquire what that might mean to their partner or to somebody else. And also, like, yeah, is this what's relevant right now? And I like this idea of us moving more to our strengths. The idea that, you know, if I'm in a partnership and she just happens to be actually really into and great at doing something which I would associate as masculine in my job, like, you know, mowing the lawn or the house, you know, putting up shelves or whatever those kind of classic male jobs are, like, and I'm never really got into them and she loves doing them, then yeah, maybe that's something that I can let go of if I find that a bit something that I would need to do, and letting go of attachments to, well, this is a masculine thing, therefore I should be doing it. And that can apply to all walks of life. And so there's something valuable in that, and just going, well, how's the dynamic between us? And let's not push expectations onto each other. Well, because you're a woman, you should be able to be like, or you should be more like this. And the same from men. You need to be more like this. This is what I want from you, because that's what men should be. And more into a space of, okay, who are we as humans, and what are our expectations? Where do they come from? And what's this actual co-committed relationship look like when we make agreements and accept each other as we are? That, and that leaves for a lot more fluidity, and then the word energy can start to come in a bit more. So in terms of concrete advice, I feel like both of us have kind of rambled for a couple of minutes and made interesting points. But if I were to, let's say I rambled, but to wrap up, like, this idea of, like, well, you know, asking, hang on, what is masculine to you? Like, and where do you think I sit on this? And what are your expectations of that? And just asking people around you what that means, whether it's your partner, friends, and just generating that conversation. Because if we're in a space of, I don't know, I think that's actually quite healthy, just to speak to the fact that, well, we're not quite sure actually. And how important is that in our friendship, in this working dynamic, in sex, etc.? Like, let's kind of speak to that a bit more, because it's unsaid. If it's unsaid, then it's going to be likely to be more of a problem than just speaking to what it is and going, okay, let's figure it out. What do you think?
Yeah. No, I agree. So there's kind of, as you've said, you know, that's the feedback from the people we know. And then my point was the, you know, beginning to really listen in to our own sense of, you know, how we're feeling about the things that we're doing and what we're experiencing, and then learning how to honor what it is that we're feeling inside rather than doing what we're expected. And, you know, that's that transition into self-responsibility, right? And
back there again.
You know, I think it, yeah, in that, you know, in that, in this topic, in this conversation about masculine and feminine, it's about honoring ourselves, right? Honoring that need within each of us that is really, in the end, for me it's about kind of being the best version of ourselves, you know, once more. You know, it's this thing of, you know, walking around life with a smile on our face because I'm being who I should be, not because of who I not I'm being because of who I want to be, not because of who I should be, you know.
Amen to that. Seems like a good place to wrap things up. What do you think?
I think so, mate. Absolutely.
All right. See you very soon for another interesting conversation. Thank you, mate.
From this week's podcast, if there's been anything that's inspired you, challenged you, or simply left you wanting more, then please reach out to Richie and Mal via their Facebook page, Man Reimagined. Just like you, we're trying to get a handle on all of these issues and topics. So the more we're able to share and talk about them, I think the better off we're all going to be. Until next time, catch you later.